Matthew chapter 8 in your Bible. I appreciate you taking that, and we'll look at just these brief four verses. The title of the message tonight is Wanting Something from the Lord. And I'm afraid that many enter 2019, and you know what? It hasn't even occurred to them that they might need something from the Lord. And in Matthew chapter 8, we have the great miracle in the Bible recorded of a man who was a leper. I don't believe that in our world and society we don't fear leprosy, but in Bible times and New Testament times, leprosy was feared like maybe a few years ago AIDS was feared in our country. I mean, there was no hope. You got this and you died, and you died a very painful death, separated from your family. It was a terrible, terrible thing. In fact, the only time anybody ever got cured was with a miracle. God intervened. And in Matthew chapter 8, here's a leper. He's curious about Jesus. It says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. He had no idea how quickly that God is capable of answering our prayers and changing our whole lives. It is amazing how he's able to do that. In verse number 4, and Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Let me get you to hold your place in Matthew. By the way, you'll want to limber up your Bible. We're going to go to a number of scriptures tonight. I don't apologize for that. Many years ago, a very faithful member in our church had a family member visit, and they were asking that family member, hey, how did you like the services? And they said, well, it was okay. They just used too much scripture out there for me. And I thought, boy, what a great criticism. We'll go down with that anytime. All right, Matthew chapter 8. You're going to put your marker in. You're going to go over to Revelation chapter 3. There was an old story happened back in the 1800s of a man who became extremely wealthy. He came out of poverty. He knew what it was to have nothing. And by the way, we're looking at chapter 3 and verse 14 is where we're going to go. Came out of great poverty. And I don't know, there came a point where he realized, look, I would like to do something for others. I am where I am because in my poverty, someone helped me. And he did. He had received some money. And it opened a door for him to be able to go into his own business. And he made a tremendous fortune. And he did a very strange thing. He set up a place in a large park there in New York City. And he said, I am willing to take care of the debts of any person who will come and see me. We'll talk it over. And I will see what I can do, but I will do something for you. And they say that on the day that was appointed, the time appointed, there was a big carriage or whatever brought out this kind of mobile office with the horse and carriage, this horse and buggy days. And the man was there, it was obvious. And there was a crowd of people. In fact, they had to have some police help there to make sure nothing got out of line. But nobody would go over there and get help. Most of the people there felt like that it was just a joke. And if they went, they would be made fun of. They would be fools. And the paper would be there and take pictures. Look at these fools. And finally, after hours and hours, there was one lady who kind of staggered over. She obviously in tremendous need. And she went, climbed the stairs up into the carriage there. And just a little bit, she came out and people shouted to her, is it real? Is it real? And she didn't say anything. She just scurried on. And apparently she brought her bills and debts. And the man inside that carriage had a bank draft written up for her there that covered all those. Eventually another person or two came and every one of them, they had their bills paid. But to the shock of the man who wanted to help people with the resources that he had earned, there was only like two or three people all day in the hours that he sat there waiting to try to help people. Most people just didn't believe it. So most people, maybe just curious. They didn't even want to have their needs met. And every time I hear or that story or reminded of that story, I'm reminded of our God. I believe tonight every need that you have this moment, There is a God who is able and willing to help you. And the problem is we just either are not willing to acknowledge our need, or we just aren't really sure that God can do it. We just don't believe Him. And so we go through another year, 2019, without really having the genuine needs that we have. Now, that would be characteristic of the age in which we live. Revelation chapter 3, chapter 2, chapter 3 have to do with seven letters to seven churches. And good, sound, Bible-believing people through the years have believed that these different churches that were existence in the first century, that were sent letters from the Lord Jesus Christ through the pen of the Apostle John. He was the one that God used to pen the heart of God here, His Word. And each one of these represent different ages of the church. And that the last is the Laodicean church. We were looking at it on Wednesday night. We believe that we are the people of the last days. And one of the profound characteristics of these people is they have no needs. You know, tonight I believe the real needs that God wants to meet tonight for us, we may not even be totally aware of. Let's read it just a little bit. It says in Revelation chapter 3, down to verse 17, it says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." Here is a God who wants us to ask something of Him this year. He wants to show His power. He wants to show His concern, His compassion, His mercy and His grace for us. But you know what? We're traveling through life and we are sure that we have no needs. Often to say that you have a need, there's a sense of humbling. It was a very humbling thing for that lady to walk across in that open area where they had the lines there and people were held back by the police there. And it was very humbling for people to look at her and to see, well, man, she's a lady with needs. And you know what? But what joy on the other side when she came out with every financial need that she had met. And we're not talking here about financial needs. We're going to look at that just a little bit further. But I find in verse 17, unfortunately, that the church of the last days is the church doesn't have any needs. And because of that, by the way, in verse 15, they don't have much enthusiasm. I mean, they're just kind of going through the motions. They're just marking time. Because they come to church, they don't have any needs. I'm good, you're good, we're all good, everything's great. And they don't understand that God has allowed you to be a needy person. And if you're breathing and you're alive, you are a needy person. And there is a God who has got all of those needs covered, and He can meet those needs. And He desires you to come and lay them before Him and for you to acknowledge your need so that He can meet those needs. And oh, how He wants to do that. By the way, this is a group that has no emotion or enthusiasm. They have no sense of urgency. Again, they're just going through the motions. It's another Sunday, another Lord's Day. I'm just doing what I always do on those days. It's another Wednesday night prayer meeting. No real urgency to get on my face before God and cry out to Him. I think when we met on Wednesday night, knowing that Kyle was up at MUSC, we felt an urgency as a people. There were other things that we felt urgent about. We wanted to cry out to God. We understood we had a need. Lord, we can't do anything to help Kyle except just to pray. And well, that's the greatest thing we can do, isn't it, is pray for him. But no emotion, no enthusiasm, no urgency. But you know, in verse 17, this crowd communicates a lot. They talk a lot. It says in Revelation 3 and verse 17, "Because thou sayest." They talk and communicate ad nauseum. But they have no enthusiasm, no emotion, no urgency. Very verbal, but they have no needs. And so they go through another year missing the blessings of the Lord. On our way back, would you stop off at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15? Over in Colossians 1 and verse number 15, we have a great need. And I'll tell you what that need is. It's to know Jesus Christ better. You know, next Sunday in our adult Sunday school classes, each of our classes we've got here as we start in January here, we just finished up 2 Corinthians, And of course, we had the privilege of having Brother Harmon today, and we were together here in the auditorium. But as we get in our classes, we're going to do some particular studies. And one of the first we're going to do this next Sunday is on our devotional life, how to have a devotional life with the Lord, how to have a fruitful devotional life with the Lord. And one of the things in that study you're going to find out is that there are a lot of people who go at the Word of God, and they're trying to prove some crazy doctrinal point. There are about all of the things that they should not be about. They've not come, laid themselves bare before the Lord, say, "Oh God, I'm a needy person. And the one I know that I need is what this leper realized. It's Jesus Christ. I need to know him better. I need to understand more about him. I need to have a closer fellowship with him. I need to love him more and appreciate him more. Lord, make him more real to me through your word. Let me fellowship with you." Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him." That's Jesus. "And for him." And in verse 17, he trumps everything. It says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body," that's us, the church, "who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." And down to verse 19, if you are to have your needs met, it'll be just like this leper. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He was curious. He watched Jesus as he taught. He watched him as he healed. And his heart was filled with worship. It began to wash over him. This is someone who has the answers to the problem I have. "Lord, you could heal me. God, you could help me get rid of this awful leprosy, this death warrant upon my life." And the Lord said, "I will. I will," because he knew how to ask it. And he came, brought it to Jesus. Verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Now, let's go through a few verses of Scripture, and I appreciate you. One of these you might want to hang on your wall this year. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, this comes from the account there, what we call the Christmas story, don't we? This is Mary, and as the angel was speaking to her about the miracle that God was going to do in sending his son, the virgin birth of our Savior, so that Jesus could come and be born a flesh of human being and yet be sinless and perfect and holy, perfectly God, perfectly man. And Mary is saying, "That's impossible." But in Luke chapter 1, in verse 37, she heard something. I'm glad she heard it. God recorded his word for us. And I want you to know something. As you discover your needs, as you begin to look at the Lord Jesus Christ and see him for who he is, you'll say the same thing. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Listen, I don't know what it is that is the need of your life today. Perhaps you've asked prayer for it. Many times, the great needs of our lives, we kind of keep to ourselves. We're like that lady, who must have been very difficult for her to go across in front of all those people with newspaper people there, with their old-fashioned cameras ready to take some pictures, see what was happening so they could report to their papers. And here she comes with her clothes and rags, and she's not too clean, but I tell you what, she's got a need. And she went in there, that man wrote a check, and he met those needs, and he was able and capable. But God can do anything. Hey, there's some other verses like that in the Bible. Look in Matthew 19 and verse 26. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. I'm so thankful that I have a God who can do anything. It says, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Will you get it in your mind that the Lord can heal marriages? Will you get in your mind that God can bring wayward children back? That get it in your mind that God can heal if he so chooses. We don't believe in divine healers, but we believe in divine healing. God can do miraculous things. He can do anything he wants. He's not limited in any way. And he is certainly the great physician. Over in Jeremiah 32 and verse 17, over in the Old Testament. Let's go over there. Let these verses ring around this auditorium, get into our ears. Find one that you want to hang on your wall. It says, and verse 17 of Jeremiah 32, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and a stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." I guess the hardest thing is we just don't want to ask God. We don't want to put him on the spot. Lord, maybe you could. Maybe not, I don't know. But I tell you what, that leper was pretty convinced. Lord, if you will, you can heal me. And the Lord said, I will. And he knew that the Lord Jesus could. Look over in Isaiah 59 in verse number 1. We could keep going. Maybe we should. There are so many verses like this in the scriptures, and they ought to ring in our ears as we continue on into the early days of 2019. Isaiah 59 and verse number 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. God can do anything. And my need tonight is to know him and to enjoy him. I look tonight and ask you something. If you were to examine your need, I could encourage you that you might begin to actually know your need if you would examine your heart and find out, what am I anxious for? As I move into 2019, firmly in now, a few weeks in, what is it that God has allowed to settle down upon my shoulders or that I'm carrying? What burden has God asked me to bear and to carry here in 2019? What is it that sometimes when I go to bed, I just have to put it out of my mind because my stomach starts doing flips. It wants to bottom out. I get nervous and scared, and then I get wide awake, and I can't sleep. You love those moments, don't you, when you were kind of sleepy, and then you went to bed, and you started thinking about your troubles. But you realize those are the anxious cares. God says, I've allowed them because I don't want you to live with them. I want you to give them right back to me. I want you to be like that poor leper who saw Jesus do those miracles and heard his great teaching and said, you are the Christ. And the Christ can do anything. You can help me. Please heal me. And the Lord did. Now, why doesn't God do those things? I believe one of the reasons that the Lord isn't going to do anything for most folks that are saved in 2019 other than keep them alive another year and keep that home in heaven there for them. We certainly believe in the eternal security of the saints. Is one, folks just never ask. It's never really allowed themselves to look and say, you know what, I'm a needy person and I've got some specific needs and there is a God who wants to hear those and supply those and I need to take them before him. We don't even voice it before him. There's other reasons. If you'll go to Luke 23 and verse 8, as Jesus was being judged worthy of death, and Pilate was trying to kind of spread the blame in case he had some feedback from, blowback from Rome there over all these things happening. I mean, he wanted to keep his job there in Judea, and he didn't want to mess anything up. He was hoping to keep his pension together. And in Luke 23 and verse number 8, he sent Jesus over to Herod. He heard that, why am I listening to, why has the high priest brought this man to me? It's not under my jurisdiction. He's just told me he's from over Herod's way. I'm sending him over to Herod. And in chapter 23 and verse 8, Herod was excited. He had wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to meet him. He wanted to talk with him. But he only wanted to because his heart was simply filled with curiosity. Well, I mean, Herod was interested in many things. And the Lord Jesus Christ was just one of many things. And he was interested in science. He was interested in issues of health. He was interested in issues of government. And he wanted to meet other famous people and other powerful people and interesting people. And so as he approached Jesus Christ, it was nothing more than a big curiosity. I've met a lot of people through the years. We've had people come here and make professions of faith. But you know the truth? I believe it was all just one big curiosity. They were just curious about what it was like to be, a Christian, what's like over there in that place. They drove by here before, and then they got in, and they made a profession of faith, and then we didn't see them because they satisfied their curiosity. They didn't get saved. They were pursuing the Lord on the basics of curiosity. Luke 23 and verse 8, it says, "And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him." And one of the reasons folks won't have anything done by the Lord for them this year is the same reason the Lord didn't do anything for Herod. I notice in verse number 9, the Lord didn't have any answers for him. He didn't even speak to him. The Lord Jesus never responded to Herod. Verse 9, then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And so tonight, it's going to mark another year down. You're going to be able to give a testimony down the road. Guess what? I've been saved for 10 years. I've known Jesus Christ as my Savior. Well, what's the Lord done for you lately? Well, I've got a home in heaven. I love Jesus. I've got salvation. I've got His eternal word. I don't read it much, but I've got His eternal word. And I'm thankful for a good church, and I'll just mark another year. I believe God wants to do some mighty things in your life. I believe that He's ready, willing, and able to do things beyond our comprehension. He loves to take on the impossible because He's the God of the impossible. There's another reason over in John 6 and verse 26. A lot of times people kind of, they get the wrong idea when I say that, because they're thinking, you know what, I sure want a new Chevy. In John chapter 6 and verse 26, there was a whole crowd of people who rushed upon Jesus, and I'm sure His disciples, it must have been music to their ears, because they said, oh, come be our king. Jesus has just fed 5,000 people. He's taken 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and He's multiplied, and the whole crowd are completely filled. And then they've got 12 basketfuls now to take home and put in the fridge. And in John 6, in verse 26, it says, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. And He says this, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Don't let the great burdens of your life be very surface things. Now, I want you to know something. I believe God cares. When you need transportation, God provides transportation. When you need a bill paid, I believe God will provide for that bill. And I believe God wants to prove Himself through those things. But if those are the only things that you take before the Lord in 2019, be very, very limited life. And Jesus said in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for this meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath the Father sealed. And so we've got belly issues. There's a companion verse, and we ought to read it before we move on. It's over in James chapter 4 and verse number 2. There are a lot of people who say, yes, in 2018 I had these burdens, and I took them to God, and God didn't do a thing. And I tell you what, I'm just glad to mark another year. I'm saved. I'm on the way to heaven, and I have enough of the Lord. It's enough to satisfy me now. I don't want any more. And in James chapter 4 and verse number 2, though, the Bible warns us. It says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. You just don't look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Begin to worship Him and meditate on who He is and what He's done and what He's doing, and realize, you know what, I have some genuine needs, and He's the only one that can meet those needs, and give those needs to Him and watch Him do mighty things that you could never have imagined. You just ask that leper one day when you meet him in heaven. But in James chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, no, we mess it all up because we're thinking like those people. Their bellies were filled over in John chapter 6. James 4 and verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And so they were asking to fulfill their lust. It wasn't godly. It wasn't good. They were looking for more stuff. And I tell you what, we've got plenty of stuff. It's not about stuff. It's about these great things that God has laid upon our shoulders. And tonight, if we could just sort through the stuff and get down to the genuine needs of our lives. In fact, tonight you might as a believer say, you know, I don't think if we had a testimony meeting and we asked a people to tell their needs, that I would be sharing those needs. Hey, you may be getting into the ballpark. Listen, I would be ashamed to share those needs. I guarantee you that leper was a very difficult thing to appear there and cry out to Jesus Christ from a distance and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a very difficult thing. But I'm glad he did, because the Lord was ready to meet his genuine needs. Let's go back over there to Matthew chapter 8 here. He had a need. By the way, that leprosy is a picture of sin. It attacked outwardly and it attacked inwardly. When our oldest son was about 4.5, 5 years old, he developed, I guess he already had it, we just realized it, but he developed tremendous allergies. And I remember at this time of year, terrible, terrible weather. He broke out from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and it was awful. It was scary, and we rushed him down to the emergency room in our community, and I remember they gave him several shots and thought about admitting him, but thought better of it, decided that they would refer us on to a pediatric allergist. And I remember one of the things that the pediatric allergist said was that, you know, when your body responds the way his body was responding to all these things that his body was allergic to, that it doesn't just happen on the outside, that what's happening on the outside is happening on your organs. It's happening on the inside of you. That's why I say it's very dangerous. And he had, they figured out the things that he was allergic to, and for years and years, had shots. He got to the point that different parts of his arm and stuff were like leather. I mean, they just kept giving those shots. And today, he's a healthy guy. I tell you what, I praise the Lord, that's going. But I often thought about what the doctor said. The leper on the outside, he looked pretty bad, but he looked worse on the inside. And tonight, that's what sin does. In fact, if you'll go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15, let me get you to turn over there real quickly. Now, you've got your marker, so you can go right back, right, to Matthew 8. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 describes what sin is like. The terrible thing about leprosy, the type of leprosy that was in the Bible, is that they believe that it actually was not simply passed by touch, but by the air. Just being around somebody who had leprosy and you breathed in, you could actually ultimately bring leprosy to yourself. It's little wonder that the Lord instructed those with leprosy that they had to leave their families and they had to keep their distance and they had to cry if anyone came near them, unclean, unclean. They had to keep people away because you could actually breathe the stuff, whatever. I'm not sure if it's germs or what, but you could breathe it in and you could get leprosy. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says the same thing about sin in our lives. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. God wants to give us grace to do His will. Grace is God, His amazing grace of salvation. God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves and doing for us what we don't deserve. And grace is God helping us after we're saved to be able to do His will no matter the circumstances that we face. There's grace to do right no matter how hard it gets to obey God. Hebrews 12, 15, it says, when we don't, though, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Hey, it's in the air. It's in the air. It's in the heart and mind of that person, and they're communicating it when they don't even realize it, and they're not even trying to. They're communicating a sinful heart and rebellion against God. And this poor man left out, ugly, hard to look on, loathsome. I'm sure you've seen some of the descriptions of leprosy, how that start on farthest reaches on your body and then began to work its way in. And when it got to the face, totally change a person's face. And, oh, it's terrible, terrible thing. You could find a Bible dictionary, look it up, leprosy, read some things about it that you probably don't want to know. But that's the state of this man. But look at his approach to the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in John chapter 8, in verse number 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. And so tonight, you know, we're going to have this series on devotions. We want to emphasize, do a better job in having devotions. Hey, you may have had devotions for 50 years. You might learn something next Sunday in Sunday school. Be here. Be here with bells on. But one of the things that we'll be emphasizing in Sunday school is what it is to have devotions. I'm not looking for any ulterior purpose except to meet with Jesus Christ. I want to know Him better. And that's what changed this man. He was curious about the Lord Jesus Christ. He came as close as a leper could. He heard the teaching. He saw the miracles. And he began to meditate on who Jesus Christ was. And he knew his need. And he called out to the Lord Jesus Christ with wonderful reverence and worship. By the way, I noticed that he called him Lord. It says in Matthew 8 and verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, which, by the way, is the equivalent of the Old Testament name for God, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and has to do with the kingly name for the Lord, his rule over all man, his priority and worthiness of worship, our place at his feet. He should be the master, and a personal experience. Hey, listen, tonight it's not enough to enjoy and experience the Lord through the experiences only of your mate. Perhaps tonight you wouldn't even be here if it was not for the fact that God is at work in your mate's heart. Praise the Lord for the encouragement that our mates bring to us. It's not enough for your parents. If you're a young person and, boy, your parents are leading you, you know you wouldn't be at home tonight. You're going to be in God's house. You're going to be here on Wednesday night because mom and dad aren't going to let you not be here. But wouldn't it be great if you saw and worshiped the Lord Jesus yourself, that you knew what it was yourself, you developed a heart for him as you looked at him and enjoyed him. And that's what we want to do in 2019. We want to just worship him through the pages of Scripture and enjoy him. I'm thankful that he verbalized his reliance on the Lord. He thought about what the Lord could do. You know, God could take care of this right now. And then he asked him, and he did. Oh, tonight I just wonder, what is it tonight that amazing, miraculous, wonderful things that God would fill our church with if we were just willing to see the need and to ask him? What a blessing that is. Tonight, perhaps the great need of your heart is just to get saved. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. Jesus has died, and his blood has been accepted by God the Father for every sin that has ever been committed. Why, all those sins are paid for under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have to take that for yourself. You have to receive that yourself. All you need to do is just what that leper did. Lord, you could make me clean. God, you could heal me. And guess what? The Lord is ready. It's not hard to get saved. He is ready, willing, and able at any moment, any hour of the day or night to receive folks to himself. The blood of Jesus has paid the debt. It's simply a matter of someone recognizing the debt and receiving what God has received, agreeing with that wonderful propitiation of Jesus Christ in payment for our sin, and you can be saved. Claim that gift, perhaps tonight. And I think you need to get straight in your mind, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Every sin that's ever been committed has been taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. But as a believer, I do sin. The Lord warns me about not lying. It warns me about not committing adultery. It warns me about not stealing. It warns me about bearing my brother's burdens. All kinds of things, not to judge. And all of those things are important. I do sin. But you know what? They're under the blood of Jesus Christ. But he does ask me to confess my sins. If I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sin. What does that mean? Agree with God about it. Lord, I really messed up in this. And Lord, I know Jesus' blood has paid for it, and I come today to claim that precious blood. I want to be right with you. My sin has grieved and quenched you, but I want to be right. I want to be one with you and enjoy you, and I want you to enjoy me, and God can do that. By the way, sanctification is about claiming the power of the blood to really conquer. Yeah, is it possible in this lifetime? Perhaps those things that tonight you wouldn't want to share with anybody that weigh you down, that you would look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this would not be just a year of victory. It would be the beginning of a lifetime of victory over this, what people sometimes call besetting sin. But that's what sanctification is about. It's about conquering sin. We are victors in Jesus Christ. But the issue is, I wonder if we really will see that we have a need. We're really willing to admit it. We live in the Laodicean age. We don't have any needs. And so we're not going to get real enthusiastic, excited about anything because we don't expect anything. We don't think we have any needs. Matthew 8, let me read it one more time, verses 1 through 4. We'll quit. It says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. He looked at Jesus more closely than anybody there. And he found a heart of worship, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And guess what? Verse 3, out of all that crowd there and all the lepers that must have been there and all the blind people and all those that were in need, the Lord reached out and touched him. Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man. There's another message there. We don't have time tonight. Time is gone. But can I ask you something tonight? Wonder if there's something you're anxious about in 2019. There's something that God, I believe, is preparing your heart marvelously to do tremendous things. I wonder if there are things on your heart that you're heavy about because you say, yes, sir, I would never stand up and say, pray for me. And we never give the prayer request we really need to, don't we? The Lord tells us to do that. We would never do that because we have something called pride that weights us down. Therefore, we never seem to be able to overcome and conquer those great besetting sins. But tonight, a start would be to say, Lord, thou canst make me clean. Lord, would you help me tonight? That's what these pews are for. That's what these steps are for. I just urge you. Do you want anything from God? I'm afraid there are a lot of believers who just want him to leave them alone. Lord, let me have a good life and just leave me alone. And if I need you, I'll let you know. But God doesn't want us to be that way. That's why tonight many of our hearts are anxious. God is preparing us for the greatest year spiritually of our lives. He's laid something on us. He certainly doesn't want us, we're not able to carry it. We're going to cast that back to him. It's going to cause us to look into the scriptures. Going to cause us to fall in love all over Jesus Christ and worship him. And God is going to cause us, hopefully at some point, maybe even tonight, to say, now, Lord, I believe you can take care of this. Would you do it? And guess what? The Lord is ready to do it. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Our pianist is coming, the piano. I appreciate you being here. Praise the Lord for your faithfulness. Can I ask you something tonight? Do you want anything from God? Well, you just say, listen, preacher, basically, I just wish the Lord would leave me alone. I've got all my plans, and I know I need God, and I'm saved, and I'm on my way to heaven. I just wish the Lord would leave me alone. Let me have a happy life. That's all I want. Well, friend, that's not what life is about. Just ask that leper. Listen, God sometimes brings things upon our lives that make us very anxious. The Lord's against that. He doesn't want us to live our lives in anxious care. He wants to cast those cares upon him because he cares for us. But tonight, have you done it? You may be here and you need a Savior. You need to get saved. And my friend, I wouldn't hesitate a minute. No one knows if their heart is going to be beating 24 hours from now. We don't know. And tonight, if you're not sure, if you died, you'd go to heaven. I wouldn't want to leave this place unless I was 100% sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Will you come in just a moment when we stand to our feet and let me help you, let me get you with a person that can share the scriptures and explain the issues of salvation to you and help you to understand what it is to trust in Jesus Christ. They'll help you and answer your questions. You'll be glad you met them, and you'll be glad that you received Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. Won't you come? You may be here and you're a believer. And you actually have a need going in 2019. And you know what? Sometimes it's a long way across a crowd in a park in New York in the 1800s. And only a handful of people made their way across, humbled themselves, knocked on the door, went into that little mobile office on the horse and buggy days. But they all came out with their needs met. And I just plead with you tonight. Will it just be another year? Just another at making ourselves as happy as we can, hoping that God doesn't mess anything up? Or will it be a year where we actually look and say, you know what? I have a genuine need. And I do believe that God is able to do that. And I want to lay it before him. And tonight, that'd be a wonderful thing. To get rid of the Laodicean bonds and say, Lord, I'm a needy person. And this is it. And then with great expectation to walk out of here and see God do amazing things in this year. I plead with you, won't you come? Father, thank you for this day. The blessings you've given to us have been so great. To see some of those folks there on our prayer sheet, their names are mentioned every Wednesday night. Many of our people pray for them regularly in their personal and family devotions. And as they hear of issues and things going on in different areas of the world, they pray. But what a joy to see some of these wonderful missionaries that you've given us to pray for and support financially, to see what they're doing, to meet them, to be reminded that they're real people and their sacrifice, what's great, been great. Tonight we come back and, Lord, you're challenging us. Do we have any needs that the Lord might meet those needs? It's a humbling thing to admit we do. But Lord, there's only one leper got cleansed that day. And only one great miracle here in this little section that's recorded of all that crowd that crowded around Jesus when he came off the mountain. And Lord, I don't know who in this crowd would really acknowledge a need and bow a knee and say, I've got a need. Oh God, would you meet it? And then have the joy, just as this leper did, of realizing, you've met my need. Lord, I know you're willing to do it. God, help our hearts to be willing. Help us to shake off the Laodicean spirit of this hour. And God, may we see mighty things in this place for your glory and service after service. Rejoice as we can't wait to testify and tell what great things you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.